It's Chad Weiss. Welcome to the Nobody's or Somebody's podcast. Once again, happy Monday to you all. Thank you for downloading, streaming, subscribing, listening, however you find me. I'm glad you found me. Thanks for finding me again this week, and I hope you find me next week. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome. It's about time. It's about time you got here. Thank you again. It's Monday, the 18th of December. We're getting close to Christmas. Hope you are well prepared for Christmas. If not, shame on you. Shame on you for not being ready. Of course, I'm not prepared at all. I've yet to buy anything in for anybody, so I live in a big glass house, and I'm about to throw some rocks, so I should definitely get on that. But if you're still out there shopping, do what you can to get the best deals. Do what you can to get the best gifts. Do what you can to get the best for your best. That's what I'm trying to say. oh boy. So if you're looking for something to do this holiday season, you can definitely, and any season for that matter, you can check out the Nobody's or Somebody's podcast official Facebook group. Yeah, I said it right this time. How about that? Yay! The Nobody's or Somebody's official podcast group is up and running. All the former guests, for the most part, are hanging out there, and they're waiting for other people to come and chat with them because they're getting bored of talking to each other, and I'm getting bored of talking to them all the time. So come on over, join the group, start a discussion, start talking about what you like and what you don't like about this podcast, wondering what this podcast is all about, the history of it, why we don't do this, why we do that, why I don't have this or that, all these kinds of questions and more could be potentially answered or ignored over on the Facebook group. So come on over and say hi. Definitely love to hear from you. Just go on Facebook, search Nobody's or Somebody's podcast official, and you'll see it there. There's also links to it on the Subcamp Co. Championship Vinyl Facebook page too, which you should be checking out as I post different deals in the record store, the Championship Vinyl record store that I have. Especially with Christmas coming up, there's Christmas records are a big thing now, right? So definitely check that out and see what you can grab over there. And other things are popping up there. I go live sometimes. You never know what's going to happen on the Facebook groups or pages, so I suggest you definitely check those out. So I was listening to the radio the other day, as I often do. I'm getting really more amazed with my local radio station. I'm starting to love it even more. I'm in Ottawa, so that's the Rebel 101.7. It replaced The Bear, which was a mainstay rock and roll, like a modern type, with classic rock type of hybrid station that was here since maybe 1994, up until maybe 2015. There was a rock and roll station here. Went through a couple of changes. It started off as 54 Rock on the AM dial. Back in the late 80s into the early 90s, actually until from 1982, I think, up until the mid 90s on the FM dial, and then became The Bear, and then for a while became Virgin Radio, and they did a couple of changeover things there, which was, they started introducing some newer, like some different rock tracks. They started playing Queensryche, which I thought was pretty cool. I never heard any Queensryche songs played in Ottawa before. I was pretty excited about that. But now with the switch over, they haven't done it again. And then they switched back to The Bear, 106.9 FM The Bear. But then that, in 2015, became a top 40, like a jump station, like a hits, like a hit radio station for all like the new pop music out there today. Not always the biggest fan of that. I don't mind some certain tunes when I hear them, but yeah, I'm not a fan of that type of music for the most part. So I wasn't very happy when that radio station turned over to another hit radio station. We already have like three or four. We have Hot 89.9, we have Kiss, and now we have Jump, and then we have the new country station, which is, to me, a bastardization of what country music was. It's like pop country, it's not even the same thing anymore. So definitely nothing for a guy, an old curmudgeon like me, to listen to. Am I all rock and roll? We do have a rock station, Shea 106, classic rock. I love Led Zeppelin, I love The Who, I love AC/DC, I love Van Halen. I love the songs that they play of them, I just like hearing them. The same songs over and over, the same classic rock songs without any kind of like difference or like there's no variety in the songs. They just play the same classic rock bands, the same classic rock songs, it seems. Which I guess if that's the only station to listen to, that's great. But I have an iPod, I have CDs, I have the internet, I have lots of reasons not to listen to Shea anymore. But then Rebel 101.7 came in. And I'm pretty excited because they're back to playing modern rock. I do enjoy a lot of modern rock. I love the old classic favorites, the old thrash and heavy metal classics from the 80s. But I do love a lot of the modern rock that's come out recently. And now I have a chance to hear it on the radio. And it's pretty damn cool. So that's Rebel 101.7 on the dial here in Ottawa. So anyway, I was listening to that radio station while waiting for someone. I was waiting for someone in the parking lot to do a deal, to do an exchange. Someone had bought something from me. I sell things locally, right? So as we'll talk about soon with this little peek into Fred's new world of shop of selling online. When I was sitting there waiting, I heard an interview on the radio with the Headstones, Hugh Dillon. For any of you who don't know, Headstones is a band from Canada, from Kingston, along the lines of Tragically Hip. Much heavier than the Tragically Hip. They have a different sound, a different vibe to them when they came out a little bit later than the Tragically Hip, I think. But, of course, Hugh Dillon also acted in a TV show, which I don't remember the name of the show. It was like a cop FBI type show that he was the lead guy on, too, for a while. So Headstones have been taking a break. I'm not a huge fan of the Headstones, I'll be honest. I'm not big on a lot of their music. I don't know a lot of their music other than the songs I would hear on the radio all the time. They have this one song called Tweeter and the Monkey Man, which, you know, it's a nice story song, but if you've heard it 1,000 times, it seems like even Rebel's been guilty of this. They seem to play the same Headstones song, Tweeter and the Monkey Man, I hear like all times a day. I turn on the radio at different points of the day, even like 2 or 3 in the morning if I'm going somewhere, because I'm 24/7 worldwide, right? And I'd hear Tweeter and the Monkey Man playing, and I was like, oh god, I'd have to turn it every. This is one of those turn the station songs, right? Like you'd either turn it off or turn away, and I'd almost rather hear a jump song until that goes away. I just couldn't hear it more than enough. It's not the greatest song to me, and I've just heard it so much, it's just not appealing. It's just a turn off. And I've never really been a fan of a lot of their music. I've heard some of their songs, and they kind of sounded similar. And I don't know, I'm not trying to bag on them. It's not for everyone, obviously, but the Headstones weren't for me. But I heard, so I was, you know, listening anyway. He was playing in Ottawa that night. So this is this past week. He was playing a show at Barrymore's in Ottawa. And, of course, he actually came on the radio station to do a promo. And that's kind of new for me, too, because I find that Ottawa, when bands play here in Ottawa, they don't have the artists on the radio station like a lot of cities, especially in the States. A lot of places do, though. The radio station won't promote a show, but they won't have, for whatever reason, I don't know the ins and outs or why, but for a lot of things, they'll promote the show, and they'll like give tickets away, they'll like do promotions for the tickets and just get behind the whole thing. But they never have the artist on the radio talking about it. They never have them in town the day of or anything about that. They play a lot of their songs, a lot more of their catalog when they know an artist that they're sponsoring is coming. But I find they don't have them in the studio at the radio station, at least not here in Ottawa. You know what I mean? I never kind of understood that. I always kind of long for that. So here I find it's kind of a unique thing when I hear that Hugh Dillon from the Headstones is actually coming into the radio station before he does a show in the same city that he's about to play in Ottawa. He's from Kingston, but he has strong attachments to Ottawa, which I found out through the interview. And I just want to say that the interview was actually, it kind of opened my eyes. This is what interviews are good for, right? You kind of have an idea of someone when you hear their music on the radio, or if they're an actor, you see them in their movies or TV shows or whatever, and you kind of form your own opinion. But then when you kind of like get an interview with them and you actually sit down and listen to them talk and you get to know them, I guess, in a sort of more of a personal level, right? You get to hear them talk about their past, their stories, what makes them do what they do. You know, all the good stuff you hear in an interview, right? You kind of warm up a little bit to something. It can go either way. You can also be turned off and like, oh, God, geez, what a narcissist or whatever, you know? But for me, this really turned me on to Hugh Dillon. I really liked hearing, you know, growing up with Gord Downie from the Tragically Hip, who I mentioned also is from Kingston. They went to high school together. They sat next to each other in school. They were checking out local bands around their hometown of Kingston. And just the stories they were going through about, you know, being together. And then when, you know, Gord Downie took off and went away to, when the Tragically Hip took off and they started going touring around the world, he was still at home in Kingston. I think he mentioned a story about how Gord Downie sent him a postcard saying, you know, don't give up, keep writing music, keep following your dreams, keep following your heart, just keep on keeping on, right? And Hugh Dillon took that to heart, and he kept writing songs, kept, you know, bothering labels, and finally got his band, the Headstones, a record deal, and the rest is history, right? So now he has a band that's been going on for, you know, 25, maybe 30 years now. So that's really cool. So he's talking about his past growing up in Kingston, going to Kingston, the high school there. KCV, I think it's called. I have to look that up too. I'm sorry. He said it on the radio station, but I forget. Just basically the whole hometown story of him growing up, and then how he started creating songs for the new record, and just some of the history. I really got to feel and hear how the Headstones works. And even though I'm not a fan of a lot of their songs, they actually played a bunch of their songs back to back when they were talking to him, and I actually got into a few of them a little more not ones I've actually heard before. These are some new songs I've never heard on the radio from them that they actually played, because, you know what, they were going to just throw a convention out the window and actually play a song that's not in the rotation, that they don't normally play by the band, and they just threw it in there, like a couple songs from a new record, a classic favorite of theirs that I'd never heard that actually is pretty good. So it kind of inspired me to check out more of their stuff, but I'm just happy that the station, just giving a shout out to the station, if they ever, I don't know if they ever hear this podcast, who knows who hears it, but I'm just very proud of Rebel 101.74, you know, having this live interview on the show with Hugh Dillon, and he was able to be free. And I know it's live because at the end he was F-bombing away, so I'm like, well, that's new for that's new for Ottawa too, like swearing live on the radio. Oh my God, sleepy Ottawa just woke up. What can I say? So not like that's not what it's all about, but I'm just saying that I can't believe they actually took these measures to do a live interview with an artist who's about to play in a local venue. I've yet to hear that on an Ottawa radio station, and I just thought that was cool. So I just wanted to share that. So, and also I want to share with you guys, I just shirt myself. I just shirt myself. T-shirts, Christine Francis Poe. You go to I Just Shirt Tees on Facebook page, or you can visit her website, justshirt.com, all one word. It's her new website, new funny humorous tees, new tees being added daily. If you don't see something you like, contact them, and they'll, you know, get something up on their site within 24 hours that you might like. She's looking to get some funny t-shirts out to the people too, right? So definitely check her out. Go over to Facebook page, like I said, I Just Shirt Tees, or ijustshirt.com. Check her out. So I just wanted to share all that with you guys. So enough of my rambling about radio stations. I'm a big fan of radio stations and how they work, and I've always wondered how they program and how they choose their songs, how they edit songs. I guess I should have got into radio programming, right? But yeah, I'm definitely fascinated by how radio works, and I just wanted to share that cool little story that I've never been a fan of local radio in Ottawa for the most part. It's been okay. It's been good, and then it disappeared, and then I've kind of moved away from looking for a significant radio station here in Ottawa, but now I think I've finally found one. Again, with Rebel 101.7, so I'm pretty excited about that. I just wanted to share that with everybody, too. So, thanks again for listening to the podcast, and I think it's time for Fred to drop by, so let's check out what he has to say about online selling. Here's Fred! So, Fred, thanks for coming to my house that has no internet, no power, no food. No food.
Yeah, sounds great.
Lots of clothing, thanks. Just a quick, you've been going on and on and on about a site or an app. It's called Let Go.
Yeah.
Have you decided to let go of your stuff? You can use Let Go, which doesn't support this podcast, but we use it all the time to sell our stuff and connect the community with the stuff that they want to have. Yeah. Our stuff versus theirs.
Yeah.
Do you have any cool stories about using Let Go, Fred?
Cool. Depends what you mean by cool.
Like interesting, like stuff that people will care about and not turn off this show right now?
No, not really. I mean, people bail all the time. Well, people bail all the time, right? Okay. Oh, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you here. And I had some lady once. It was a man. Anyways, I was selling an alarm clock. I'm out in Limoges, okay? For those of you who don't know, it's like half an hour east of Ottawa.
So if someone's listening in California right now, what would you tell them about Limoges?
We have the Calypso Water Park, which is the biggest water park in Canada, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah.
And why are people in California care about this?
They don't.
Okay.
So I was selling an alarm clock for, I think it was $10 or $15. Anyways.
All right.
It was in very good condition. I just didn't use it anymore. And so this person sends me a message, says, I'll give you $5 for it and deliver it to me in Riverside South.
And how far is that from you?
Riverside South from my place is a good 45 to 50 minutes on a good day.
And how much were you asking for the product?
$10 or $15. I think it was $10.
Okay.
Or was it $15?
So they asked you for half price off plus delivery.
All more than, it was like 65% off. Like
plus delivery.
I'll give you $5 and meet me in Riverside South.
Sweet.
And I said, God, no.
Did you write that, God, no, in the message?
No, I wrote something else, but it'll be censored here, so.
No, it won't. It's relevant. What did you say?
Okay. I said, fuck no.
You wrote fuck no?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did they say?
They never replied.
Shocking. Did they read it?
Yeah, they did.
Because you can tell on the little check marks.
If they read the message or not. Yeah.
If they have, no, tell me this. There's one check mark when it's delivered. Sometimes I've seen.
No, there's two. There's two when it's delivered. It's in lighter
color. Oh, yes. That's what I was going to ask you.
When the person reads them, then they become like
two dark red check marks. Sorry,
yeah.
Red.
Yeah.
Then you should write back to them now and say, still interested?
Well, it's sold now. So
okay. There you go.
Yeah. You sure showed them.
Yeah,
sure shot. Sure shot. Yeah. Anymore? Have you actually made a successful sale on Letgo yet?
Oh yeah, I've made a few.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I've sold a poker set. Nice. I had this like this huge. I don't even know how you would call it. They were like lockers made. It was all handmade in wood.
Nice.
And when I moved out in Limoges, I had the intention of putting this in my basement, but it actually wouldn't fit. It was too long and too high, so it wouldn't fit in the basement door.
Nice. Or not nice, but yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, so I left it in my shed and I posted it for sale. And some guy bought it for, I think, $350 or something. It was all like real solid wooden stuff. So nice, that was nice. That was really good.
So
sold tires on there. So many things.
So you're getting into flipping, basically, which is buying and selling stuff, right? Buying stuff cheap and selling
at
different prices.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because like there is money to be made for sure. You just got to find – I think the hardest part is actually to find what people are looking for. And I mean, you kind of have to be careful because you know, like those monkey things about the like,
fingerlings,
Yeah. So a lot of people are looking for those right now, which right. I have no idea what they are or what they do.
They're fingerlings, man. They have monkeys on your finger and they're interactive and they play with you and they talk to you on your finger.
That's great.
It's called fingerlings. It's not what you think it might be. It's not fingerlings. It's
no,
fingerlings.
Sounds useless anyway. And a lot
hey, honey,
people,
you want to go out and buy a fingerling?
And a lot of people are looking for these, right?
Right.
But the thing is like, you know, some people will go to the store and they'll buy, let's say there's 20 of them, they'll buy the 20 and then they'll resell them for
right.
higher.
Flipping, right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that as
retail
long as
arbitrage, man.
You just got to be careful,
yep.
right? Because if you bought them at the store for $20 and you resell them for $30.
Well, that depends where you're selling.
Some people will probably buy them, but some will probably just wait until they go on special somewhere else. And they'll just rush to get it from there, and then that's it, right? So it's either you get a lot of money from it, or you do nothing. You get no money out of it.
We gotta be careful.
Sell them the same price.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. And you gotta think about where you're gonna sell your audience to. So let's say
yeah.
you go to a Toys R Us and you buy something that might be on clearance or might be readily available just on sale, or you might just buy a full price product and you want to
yeah.
flip it for double that price.
Yeah.
If you try and do that locally, unless people live in a cave or they're shut-ins or they don't know anything about the internet,
yeah.
Which do exist, people do exist like that.
Yeah.
And I know you're not listening to the podcast, so thank you. We can go ahead and talk about them. They're going to know you're basically scamming or charging them more, basically, because they can go to the store and get it themselves, right? So why would they buy from you?
Yeah.
If you sell this, like if you go on Amazon or eBay or any sites that basically you sell it around the world where they can't and they never will get these products unless you actually, you know, sell them to these people,
yeah.
that's the only way you can make double the money on that. Now, if you come from somewhere else, like we're in Canada, let's say if you go to the United States and you buy a bunch of stuff on the cheap and you come back to Canada and these people either don't have a passport or can't get to America or whatever reason stopping them, they can't do it.
Yeah.
Then you can do it the opposite way, which you can sell them at top dollar, and they'll never find them here locally,
yeah.
and you'll get it locally done. So basically, you have to know what your product is,
yeah.
know where it's available and not available,
yeah.
and a case in point for that is, I got one example for that. You ever go to a Dollar Tree, okay,
yeah.
and you think you see something cool there, and you're going to triple, double that price? Make sure you post it places where you're not selling locally. Facebook. You may think it's around the world, and it is, but most times
it's also
locally.
Yeah.
It goes by your postal code or zip code, wherever you are.
Yeah.
And I've had someone comment on some of the things I put up saying, you know, they have these at the Dollar Tree for $1.25, right?
Yeah.
And then my favorite answer, if you're listening out there, my favorite answer is, oh, there are? Okay, I better go buy one much quick, and then I'm going to sell those too. Thank you.
Seems legit.
It does, and they're like, what? Because they expect you to, like, what? Or be embarrassed. And there's
yeah.
no embarrassment here.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
you
but
caught
see, the
me.
Only thing is, like,
you gotta know your marketing, you gotta know your audience and where you're gonna sell to, right?
Yeah, and you also like it's hard to figure out what's a tendency, right? Like what are people looking for? Because like I could literally go to a dollar store and buy half of the store
right.
and
for $50
and try to sell it.
Yeah.
But if people are not interested in these items, then
right.
it's a loss.
You know, but it's not a huge loss.
These items and I can't do anything with it.
It's not
well,
a huge loss at that point, but
it's
still a loss because you haven't yet. Yeah. But that at that point, I'd be looking to selling on eBay or Amazon, where you get a worldwide audience, because people who don't have
yeah.
that don't have those products available to them readily
yeah.
will be very interested in your item.
The thing with
even if you
marked
it up a couple bucks,
yeah.
but then you gotta be careful about your
shipping
costs,
stuff like that.
Your
yeah,
use of the service cost, because
yeah.
these services aren't free. You gotta pay to use it, and PayPal. If you pay by PayPal, which is the most way, they take a 2.6% thing.
Great.
If you remember when I first started this podcast, I talked all about how I started my online businesses, was just selling on eBay, flipping on eBay, right? And then trying to figure out and guesstimate the shipping costs and guesstimate how much it's going to cost to go to whatever, Sri Lanka or something like that, and, yeah. and usually burning it on the way in because realizing I've actually paid to send it to somebody.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. My biggest, my worst story of that is taking this $10, actually cost was $10 toy, and I had to ship it to someone in Argentina, or I don't know exactly where it was. It was somewhere that, or Cuba. It was somewhere where Canada Post wasn't shipping to for a while. The only people that would ship to it would be like delivery parcel places like FedEx, UPS. The toy cost me $10. She bought it for $20. I spent $70 to send it to her.
That's a loss. That's a huge loss.
Good news, she got it within 2 days. Very happy customer.
Yeah, but you're in the hole.
100%.
Big time.
And that's what we call the cost of
shipping.
No, yes, but the cost of doing
what's right for the person.
Close. Cost of doing business.
Oh yeah.
Right. So you take some, you lose some, and
yeah,
I've been lucky to take a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? That's the other risk. Like, I mean, there's, you know, whatever business you're in, there's always a risk in some way.
But, right.
What's
your preferred method of selling? And since you're just starting out and you're a newbie, and you need Chad Weiss's guidance. You need some Chad advice. You need some Chad advice.
Some Chad advice.
Let me give you some Chad advice.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Why? Well, I will.
Well, really, I don't know. Like, it really depends. Like I was.
Where do you want to sell, man?
Where?
Like, what's your preferred platform?
I don't know. I think Kijiji reaches a lot of people.
It's locally.
Letgo can reach a lot.
Locally, but then again,
I find like people on Letgo are not very reliable.
Right.
And then Facebook, it reaches a lot too, but it's mostly like marketplace. It's around you.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get like a vast majority of people. So I've never used eBay for selling. So I would say the biggest one would probably be Amazon.
Amazon has a lot of restrictions. Amazon, you have to. Yeah, let's say you have a Nintendo game you want to sell, and you put it on. Yeah. Let's say you have the Splatoon game and you want to sell it on Kijiji. No problem. You want to put a Splatoon game from Nintendo brand new on Amazon, you need to have written approval from Nintendo to be an authorized reseller.
That's the thing. So I think Amazon is great because it is worldwide.
Right.
And it's more and more and
there's more people on Amazon than there is on eBay.
Like when I'm looking for something, the first site I'll go to is
Amazon.
All the time.
Right.
For
new products,
anyway, and I want, sure. Yeah, for new products, of course, yeah, because I want to compare the prices.
Right.
You know, even if I see something like, let's say, Canadian Tire or Sears or whatever it is, right? Like what's left of Sears anyway?
Yeah, that would be the inventory to gut right now. Yeah. Be the Sears inventory if you get your hands on it.
But yeah, so I'm looking for different things, right? And I'm just trying to compare prices, but I mean, Amazon is not always the greatest because depending on how much your item costs, you have to pay for shipping, and sometimes it costs you like a $20 item ends up costing you $40-$45 because it's under $35 and you have to ship it to.
Right. You got to be careful. You got to know your shipping rate. So basically, it's nice to have a a scale at home to kind of weigh your product with the product packaging ahead of time and the measurements.
Yeah.
And then you can go online and get the shipping calculator, or you can just take it down to Canada Post and get an actual quote. The other problem you want to find out with shipping too is that something that people in America don't have to deal with that we do is that we have less options for shipping than they do in America, and our prices are higher. So in America, what I found out is that you can ship up to, I think, maybe less than 1 kg, 1 kilogram, whatever the metric system they use. You can ship up to a certain weight by medium mail, which means you can ship up to maybe it might cost $3 for a DVD, a CD, for a lightweight item, and it comes with tracking automatically no matter what, and you can ship, and actually it's more than that. You can do a bunch of DVDs, you can put up a decent amount of weight for like maybe a flat rate of $3, and it can go anywhere in the continental U.S. and get you a tracking number. Here in Canada, if you want to ship something to the States, and this is what Americans, when they ask me, when I sell a product to America, and they say, where's the tracking number? Well, problem is here is that the cheapest rate is good for airmail. $8 Canadian will get you to anywhere in America for a certain weight of a product. Does not come with tracking. Okay? If tracking,
so you don't know where it's at.
So you don't know where it's at. If you want tracking, it's double the price, so it's $16 Canadian to get tracking. And let's say it's a $10 item, and you're charging $16 or less or something for shipping. You know, your shipping becomes higher than the actual product, and then people are like, well, why would I buy from you when it's actually more to ship it to me than it is to buy the damn thing?
That's the thing, right?
Canada Post. Canada doesn't have airmail. We don't have airmail. It goes by ground all across Canada all the time. So that's why something from here in Ontario to California could be there within maybe 8 business days, maybe 6. Usually they give me about a 4 to 6 business day window. Here in Canada, if you ship from, let's say, Nova Scotia right down to BC, that could take up to 10, 12, 13 business days to get there because it goes right along. You might as well just kick it around the ground because that's how it gets there, just by truck and all the way driving down across the Trans-Canada. We don't have airmail, but we have tracking, okay? They'll track that the package, no problem, but we don't have media mail. We don't have airmail. So actually our prices are very expensive compared to other postal services. Even though I've read recently, I looked on Canada Post website or in other interviews with some of their employees, and they say their prices are comparable to other postal services.
Yeah.
I think not. We also have, we've been in danger of had postal strikes in the near recent memory, whereas I can't remember the last time the United States Postal Service went on or attempted to or threatened to go on strike. Canada Post, sorry guys, you guys have striked once and you almost striked last year, if I remember around Christmas time or just before that. So people like small businesses like us who want to use your service to ship, that's not reliable. And it's not reliable that we have to charge customers in America almost double the price just to get a tracking number. Why would they shop with us? And why are we shipping only in Canada? You know, we charge U.S. dollars to do these things. Why, you know, it's not right. So Canada Post is good in many ways, but in a lot of ways it's severely lacking. And I think that needs to be addressed too. Now, you got to be careful with that too when you ship, especially overseas. It gets even worse.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've never shipped because, like, most of the stuff I've sold was local.
Right.
So either I meet the person, or if the item's too big, I can't deliver. Well, obviously, I have to come by and pick up.
Yeah.
And stuff. And also, like, one... speaking of shipping, I don't know if you ever used the app Wish.com.
I have, yeah.
So
you may or may not get your products.
Well, so that's the thing. So I actually ordered...
I come from China.
I ordered a gift for my sister for Christmas.
Right.
And she knows what it is because she actually asked me to order it. Anyways.
It's hard to get her a cell phone.
And so the item was it's a bracelet for a Fitbit.
Okay.
It's a replacement
bracelet.
And so... I ordered the item on November 19th.
Right.
And what day are we today? We are December...
The 14th.
Yeah. So I actually received the item yesterday. So it took almost 4 full weeks for the item to ship.
Right.
I don't know what's the standard for like Amazon and stuff like that when it's not
Prime. If you get Prime, it can get you the next couple of days. But even Amazon is relatively quick. It's like in the next week or so business days. It's pretty fast.
Like,
I gotta
say. The thing is with Wish is like, there's a lot of stuff you can buy. Like, let's say like, I would never do that, but you can buy suits for like $30.
Right.
Well, first of all, suits are not one size fits all. It's custom.
I wish.
I wish.com. Yeah.
Wish.com.
They're not 29. Like, I mean, they're not like custom for everyone.
Right.
It's, you really have to go to like a specific store, get it suited for you and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can, I assume Wish can be good for certain products, depending what,
if you don't mind waiting, if you don't mind waiting for a while and you don't mind waiting for like products of questionable quality.
And
the good thing about them is that if you don't get it in time, you can actually ask for a refund and you may still get the product anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, it's good that, like, you know, the products are like, there's huge discounts on them.
Right.
Which is
the reason why. I mean, think about it, you get what you pay for.
Yeah,
it comes down to that, unfortunately.
Yeah. The only thing is you really, like, that's another site where you have to be careful what you actually buy.
Right. Yeah. I bought a few things and some of them are okay. Some of them were not worth the dollar I paid.
Well, yeah.
But,
that's,
and then
it is
free shipping. But
I actually opened the package yesterday.
Yeah.
Seems very legit, as we say.
Too legit to quit.
Like, the bracelet's like a magnetic. Has a magnetic holder, so you can tie it and it stays.
Be careful, it's not a knockoff that can cause any kind of health risk or damage. It might have some kind of like copper in it or something.
You
gotta be careful, like what you get for products like that, especially health products.
Well, the thing is,
you wanna make sure you get in reputable places.
There's no like description, if you want, of the item that comes with the item.
Is it a
like,
brand
no,
name?
Like, instruction.
Or is it like a knockoff?
It's the same one you would find on Amazon.
Okay.
It's just a plain bracelet, a Fitbit bracelet.
Is it private branding? Some people do that too, where they take a product that exists and they put their own brand on it, but it doesn't have a label.
No, there's no
by private
branding.
There's no
brand on it.
No.
So it's plain.
Just be careful, man, using Wish. I mean, I'm not going to knock Wish doesn't support or have anything negative to do with this podcast. I've used the product. I've used the service, and I can say that we've either gotten the product or we've gotten our money back. Sometimes the product quality has been questionable, but either way, I haven't had a terribly negative experience on there, but you just be a smart buyer.
Anyway.
You got to be a smart buyer when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I mean, for flipping, I wouldn't use them as a drop shipper because you could make your customer wait for eons and decades and decades before they get your product, and all the free shipping in the world doesn't matter if they don't get the product, right?
Yeah.
So you want it for Christmas 2019? Sure, not a problem. We'll get it to you.
Something like that.
Perfect.
Legit. Yeah.
Too legit to quit. So be safe when you're out there selling on Letgo, Fred. Don't have anyone just come to your house. Just make sure it's someone appropriate or someone who's really attractive.
Wow.
And just be safe and enjoy your selling. And I hope to. I have one more question about that for you. Yeah. Why are you trying to cut in on my business here?
What?
You're trying to cut in on my business?
No, man.
My
flipping business? You operate out of Orleans.
Yep.
I operate out of Limoges.
Okay.
We don't have the same... we have a partial market share.
I say, I better not see your car around Orleans. Okay. You won't see me in Limoges. I better not see that.
Well, actually, I saw you in my area there, Castleman and Embrun. That's my space.
I was going to the States. I wasn't stopping anywhere, but for gas.
Get out.
I will. Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Fred.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you.
My thanks to Fred for keeping it real as always. Thanks for coming down to my little humble abode and making some noise about selling online. It's where I started and where I'll end up, and it's also what led to this podcast. So thanks, Fred, for stopping by and being my good buddy, Fred, as always. Yeah, good luck in your future endeavors, as you would wish me. We'll be working more together in the new year, and look forward to him and bringing him on maybe as a full-time co-host. Since he has no other job. I keep asking him, right? Since this podcast started. Who knows? Maybe he'll say yes. Have a happy Monday. Have a happy week. Stay hard. Stay heavy. Stay safe. Thanks for listening.
The Nobodies are somebody's prime cuts. Your favorite guests. Your favorite clips. Past episodes. New guest. January.
The Nobodies are somebody's podcast with Chad Weiss. Next week, same time, another guest.